Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. B'shah shalom Moshe lemarom. When Moshe went up to the heights, the spiritual worlds, Amru Malchei Asharet, the angels asked him, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, King of the Worlds, Ma Leyilud Isha Beinenu, what's this person who is born from a woman between us? I mean, this isn't the place for him. His place is downstairs. What's he doing here? Amar Lahen, he told them, Lekabel Torah, to receive the Torah. Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to go to Marom to receive the Torah? Why couldn't he receive it downstairs? Why did he go upstairs to receive the Torah? Why did he go to Malchei Asharis to receive the Torah? You're going to receive the Torah, aren't you? Klal Yisrael received the Torah, didn't they? They went up, oh, everyone went up to receive the Torah? Why didn't we, what's the problem for Kodesh Baruch to bring the Torah down? What's the problem?
It's not.
What's the story that Moshe had to go up to receive the Torah?
It's a man's job to bring it down.
Very good. So what does that mean? What does that mean? The Torah's place is B'marom. The Torah's place isn't here. The Torah is kulo ruchani. It's kulo spiritual. It's completely spiritual entity. The place for the Torah is with the Malachim. It's up there, B'marom. It's not here. So Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to bring that Torah down to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was on the level, who spoke to Kodesh Baruch Hu, panim el panim, he was on the level to have that clarity, right, of Nevuah. He had the ability to be up there and to communicate the Torah to Klal Yisrael. His job was to bring it down, but the Torah in essence is up there. You understand? Okay. Alright. Ba bo amul fanav. Chamuda gnuza. This dear hidden thing. Shegan Nuza lecha teshe me'ot, 900, v'shivim v'arba dorot, and 74 generations. Kodem shnivra ha'olam, before the world was created. That's the Torah. Before the world was created, it was 900, right? You have to understand why. 974 generations. That's a long time, isn't it? 974 generations?
What does that mean?
Before the world was created. What are these generations? Atam avakesh. This is what the Malachim are telling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to give it? You desire litna lebasav adam? This Torah, who was before the creation of the world, 974 generations, you want to give it to flesh and blood? It's not relevant to them. It's not shaykh to them. It's not something that they should be getting. It's something which is kula ruchani, which is completely spiritual. Why are you giving it to basav adam? Crazy. The Malachim are asking Kodesh Baruch Hu, how are you giving this to basav adam? It's not for them.
But it is. So like directly, it's how to live in this world.
Okay, one second. So what's the Malachim saying? I mean, the Malachim, you have to understand, Malachim don't have free will. If a Malach says something, he doesn't have negias. He doesn't want schnitzel, right? He doesn't have a desire for schnitzel, right? A malach, what's a malach? A malach sees something, and what he says is emes. It's clear emes. Kadosh, 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 right? The malachim say that. They're praising God, they see the clear emes. If a malach says that, that's the essence of what the Torah is. So, what's happening here? You understand the question? Okay. That means it's not shaykh to basav adam. The Torah in its essence is not relevant to basav adam. That's what the time is. And they're correct. They're not wrong. Ma enosh ki tizkarenu. Who is man that you remember him? U ben adam ki tifkadenu. Hashem Adonainu, a man that you will remember him. Hashem Adonainu, Hashem, our Lord. Ma'adi Shimcha b'chol aretz. Isn't so great your name in the whole world? Asher t'neh hodechel. You're going to give in your hod, your grace, right? Ala shamayim, on the heavens, which is the Torah. To basav adam. How did it shayach? What? It's like you're going to give a beautiful necklace to a cow. What's the shayach? Right. Maybe some of you have done that in the past, I don't know.
a gold ring on a pig's nose.
Right, exactly. That's something else though. Alright? Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is God speaking here. Moshe. The Moshe. It says to Moshe. Hechzilem tshuva. Give them an answer. That's a hard one, right? There's Moshe Rabbeinu up there, right? With all the malachim around him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, Moshe, yeah, give them the answer. They're speaking MS. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be an answer. Right? This is a... Yeah, I wouldn't like to be there. This is, you know, even Rabbi Lin doesn't give hard as test as this one.
He's not known for being the origin.
Are these like the archangels, or like just like all the angels are?
The angels,
Malchei Asharis. Do you know how many there are?
I didn't count them, but no, I don't know. But there's a lot of them. I don't know how many there are. But there's enough of them. There's more than one, right? Malchei Asharis, the whole Malchei Asharis, they're all there, right? Now. Answer them a tshuva. Give them an answer. Amar lefanav. Moshe Rabbeinu says in front of him, Ribono shel Olam, Creator of the world, Lord of the world, Mityareh ani. I'm scared. Moshe Rabbeinu scared? Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu scared. Right? He wasn't scared for a lot of things. He's scared. He knows what it is here. Shema yisrafuni. Maybe they will burn me. The hevel shibafihim with the breath of their mouths.
Hevel is breath.
Hevel, like the hevel. The hevel, how do you say that?
Emptiness?
Yeah, hevel. Yeah, it can be hevel. It can be emptiness. Your breath is pretty empty, you know. Hevel pihem. Amalo. So that means he's wired that he's what should they be hevel pihem? That means what's a hevel pihem of the malachim? That means when you say something which is wrong, you know, we learned last week, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he saw something which was wrong, the guy was around it. Yeah, end of it, right? It's din. You say something which is not correct, Alpidin, you're going to be burnt. He's worried. What they're saying is MS. They have no, there's no sheker there in Shemayim. There's no negias there. They don't eat schnitzel, right? Okay? Amalo, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, Achuz bekise kvodi. Hold on to the chair of my honor. What does that help? What does that help? You know, like, so what? Hold on to my chair, what's that big deal? What's this chair to do with anything? Just in case he falls down, what? What does it mean? What does kise kvodi mean?
Isn't it his
the hair of his honor. God has an honourable chair, yeah. It's pretty nice. There's a little padding over here, yeah. What does it mean? This chair of his honour. What's a chair of his honour? That's the place he sits. When he sits in that chair, what does it mean? That's his place. In other words, the place which is your place of your honour is the place you sit. When you sit, that's essentially the place through which you manhig the world. I.e., right? You manhig your the world, you're ruling the world. Like a king. King has his chair, his throne. When he sits on his chair, he makes decisions. He's ruling. That's a ruler, right? He's sitting on his chair. So the kise kvodi, to hold onto it, it means, what does a kise kvodi mean? When a king is sitting on his chair and he's ruling, he's expressing his malchus. He's expressing his kingship. So now he's saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on to that chair. I mean, be connected with that. What do you mean to be connected with his Malchus? Malchus is about expression. What's the Torah? The Torah is the Rotzen of Hashem. It's the deep inner rotzen of Hashem. That's why it's before 974 generations before the creation of the world. The world was created from the Torah. It's the deep and inner rotzen Hashem, and the malachim know that. That's why it's shaykh to them. Hold on to kisei kvodi means hold on to my malchus. Malchus, majesty, means expression of rotzen of the melech. That means he's telling him, he's hinting to him. If you hold on to my malchus, if you hold on to my expression in the world, my rotzen in the world, which is Torah. What is Torah? We say, man malach, man malcha, who's the kings? Rabbanan, the rabbis. They're the expressives of his Torah. The purpose of the giving of the Torah was what? We're going to see now. Expression of God's will. So he's telling me, hold on to my malchus, because my malchus is the expression of my will. You understanding what I'm saying? Makes sense? You're not understanding. No? You understanding?
It represents a malchus?
Malchus so means, what's a king? What's
like
a king?
You're fulfilling whatever the king is telling you to do.
You've learned brachas? You guys learned brachas?
No.
Okay. The Gemara in brachas says, like, David HaMelech. It says, what's the difference between David HaMelech and all other kings? And you see the difference. You know, a non-Jewish king, right? He gets up late. After 3 hours, David Melech gets up in early morning, the Gemara says. Why? What's he doing early morning getting up? Women come into him with shilas, with questions about, is this Vlad, is this child, a child that they're now, they're impure to their husbands, or pure to their husbands, they can be with their husbands, not be with their husbands, all things like this, all basic, simple, household problems. L'taheh ish elebala. That's malchus. What malchus is? Dealing with the nitty-gritty. Expressing yourself to the people. A melech is libam shel am, is the lev, the heart of a people. A melech, a Jewish melech, is not someone who sits on the throne and you can't get to him. A Jewish melech is involved with the people. He's libam shel Yisrael. He's involved with their everyday problems. A melech is a slave to the people. He's an eved to his people. Because he is the expression of God's will to them, how they should be living. That's the purpose of Malchus. That's what Malchus means. Malchus means you have nothing of yourself. You're just an expressor of God's will. So in order to be expressor of God's will to your people, you have to be involved in their everyday lives. Yeah.
This is probably tangential, and you might not want to address it, but nonetheless I want to ask, something I've been thinking about this year is, why are we so big on Malchus? I can understand with Hashem being Malchus, but where does democracy fit in?
That's a big question. We don't believe in democracy. We don't, a king, there is a sheet in the Rambam that a king, but it has to be based of it, is can be the majority, or the Nevi'im can put him in, or the majority of the people can put him in. But we're not talking like a voting of, like whoever's the biggest pop star or biggest actor or has the shmooze. You know Plato? Okay. So Plato has the idea of the Plato Republica, right? Who's the rulers of the people?
Philosopher king.
The philosopher king, right? Or the group of wise men who are the rulers. So that's where we hold. We hold, who's the people who rule the Jewish people, the Maisa? The Sanhedrin. David HaMelech, it's the Gemara's in Brachos, used to go to the Sanhedrin and ask them, should he go to war, should he not go to war, right? The Sanhedrin, the Maisa, were the people who were in charge of the spiritual ruling of Klal Yisrael. They were the ones who the Torah gives over. Kol Asher Yerucha. Right? So in a sense, what Plato's idea of kingship, the Maisa, is that's Klal Yisrael's concept. We don't believe in democracy, but the wise men, generally speaking, are chosen by the people. Because if you're a wise man, people know it, and they come to you and they ask you shilas, and it's a clear thing. It's not something that people vote you in. It's not how well you talk. It's not how nice you look. It's not how much money you earned, right? That you have enough money to put a few posters about yourself, right? On the walls, right? It's how wise you are, and how much of a tzaddik you are, how much of a righteous person you are. So you become the Sanhedrin. And the king, a priori, comes from based of it, has to be also a wise man. That's why there's a mitzvah. He has to have a Sefer Torah on him all the time. He has to, his own personal Sefer Torah. Lots of halachas and certain things he can't have, right? That a king has to be an expression of God's malchus. And through doing that, he has to be obviously associated with the Sanhedrin and taking advice from the Sanhedrin, like it was with David HaMelech. Yeah? Okay. So that's a tangent, but it's a good tangent. You understand what Malchus is.
So people just, like, out of reputation got on the Sanhedrin? Just like...
You're in a yeshiva, right? Right? I'm sure, right, there's people who, you know... You know a lot of rabbis, and certain rabbis you think of in a certain way, and certain rabbis you think of in a different way. That's normal, right? Without judging, you think of everyone as a great rabbi, but you know this rabbi is bigger than this rabbi, right? No one told you that. Did someone come say, you should know, at the beginning of the year, this rabbi is this big, this rabbi is this big, this... No one told you that, right? But you know. Klal Yisrael know. The Gedolim of Klal Yisrael aren't picked by anyone, but they know. Rav Shach wasn't picked. Right? Rav Shach was clear. He was Rav Shach. The Chazanish wasn't picked. It was clear. It was the Chazanish. You know, you don't... You know, the Brisker Rav wasn't picked. It was clear. It's the Brisker Rav. You understand? It's not... It's a clear thing. I'm sure, even, you know, Lahavdil, even if you go to universities, right, the biggest professor... I mean, maybe there's politics there. I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. But I'm sure the biggest professor, he must be a clever guy. He can't be an idiot. Right? Because otherwise, you know, like, what's he doing in university? I'm sure Yale has, and Harvard have very good professors, no? They don't pick them. They must have a reputation for being clever.
They're not like
Arabian. Yeah, that's different. You know, they're not talking about the same level of knowledge. You know, Reb Chaim, you've heard of Reb Chaim. He, every year, he finishes a whole Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch. You can ask him anything. I mean, the knowledge, the depth of knowledge, you can't compare. Rav Eliyoshi, you have a 90-something or 100-year-old man. 100. Okay, all right, 100-year-old man, and, you know, like, he's been learning for 70 years. How many people learn that amount of time every day and know that amount of knowledge? I mean, you guys know what a Masechta is, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Right. And you've seen all the small print around it. To know all that small print and then the whole shas. So, you know, one maybe Masechta, you have 60 Masechtas, one maybe Masechta, maybe a whole year's course in university, right?
Definitely more than that,
yeah. More than that, okay, right. And if you're learning, it depends how much depth you can learn it in. You know, the Chazon Ish, one of my Rebbeim learned one Mishnah in Arles, and he's a person who finishes shas every year. He learned one Mishnah in Arles, right? Some Masechta in Taras. One Mishnah, he learned it for a whole year. Chazon Ish says, who's a Talmid Chacham? Someone who can learn one daf 40 days, and someone can learn 40 daf in one day. Okay. Okay, whatever. You know, these are dreams of ours. Okay, those are levels. All right, but, you know, we have to bring it down. Yeah, so if you learn for a week, it's good for us. Right? No, 2 weeks is good for us. But you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now let's go back to the Gemara. So it says, hold my kisei kvodi, v'chazal lehem tshuva, v'chazor lehem tshuva, and answer them, right? Sh'ne'emam, me'echaz pnei kisei parshaz alav anano. That he was holding on to his kisei, and he spread on him his cloud. So now, v'ama Rabbi Nachum, melamed, teaches us, shepirish shakai, Miziv, from the radiance. Shakai means the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shakai, there's a Loshen in of one of the shames of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the name you have on the mezuzah. It's the name of Shmira. It's a name for protection. Right? Miziv Shechina. So he placed the radiance of the Shechina, right? Va'anano alav. And his cloud over him to protect him. Right? It sounds like Star Wars, right? May the Force be with you. Okay, all right. Alright, I'm sure it'll come up, you know, they have this screen they'll put over you or something, God knows. Amar, he said, Lefanov, in front of him, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Torah, Shata Noteini, Torah that you're giving to me, Ma Kativba, right? What is written in it? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha, I am the Lord your God. Right? Asher Hotzeiticha me'eretz Yisrael, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Amar lahen. He says to them, to the Malachim, Lemitzrayim yaradetem? You guys, you Malachim, you went down to Mitzrayim? Leparo hishtabtam? You were enslaved to Pharaoh. Torah lama tzeilachem. Why should you have the Torah? Shuv, he says further, maktivba, what's written in it? Lo yelecha Elohim acherim, you shouldn't have other gods. Elohim acherim, idols, right? Bein amimatem, you're with other nations of the world, you malachim. Shruim, your dwelling. Sh'ovdim, avodat glulim, they're serving idols. Shuv, makativba, further, what's written in it? Zechor Yom HaShabbos, remember the holy day of Sabbath. Lekadsho, to sanctify it. Klum atem osim malacha, you're doing work during the week. Shatem sichim shvut, that you need to start from doing on Shabbat. Shuv maktiba, further, what's written in it? Lo tisa masa v'matan. Sorry, lo tisa, don't make a false oath. Masa v'matan yesh b'neichem, you have business dealings. Right? Shuv maktiba, what's written? Kaved et avicha v'et imecha, honor your mother and your father. Avein yesh lachem. Shuv maktiba, lo tirtzach, don't kill. Lo tinaf, don't have illicit relationships. Lo tignov, don't steal. Kina yesh b'neichem, you have jealousy between you that these things occur. Yetzahara yesh b'neichem, you have a yetzahara. Miyad hodulo. Straight away they answered him. Lekodesh Baruch Hu. Shneema Hashem Adoneinu, God our Lord, Ma Adishim Chabachol Haaretz. Okay, now. Well, let's speak about Malachim. They didn't know what was written in the Torah. I mean, you know, I could have given that answer. Do you have Malachim? And we said, for it's mashup from the Gemara, the Torah is really shy just to the Malachim. So what sort of answer this is? You have to understand that when they read these mitzvahs, in Shemaim it meant something else. Keeping Shabbos meant something else on a higher level. Honoring parents meant something else. No kina meant something else. All these things, the Torah, when it came down to man, had associated with mitzvahs which are physical, which are expressed in the physical world. But in Shemayim, the Torah, like the Ramban says, the Ramban in the beginning of the Chumash Bereishis, the Ramban says, what did he say? He says, all of the Torah is kulo shemos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do I mean the names? Expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will, that's what Shem means of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aye, the inner depths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These things don't mean simple mitzvahs as we understand them, on that level. There's a depth, they mean Pnimiyas HaTorah. I'll tell you a story. The Gro, at the end of his days, used to sit in a chum with a chumash, that's all he used to learn, and see all the Kabbalah in the Torah. All the pnimis, all the anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah. He used to say, anything that happens to a person is written in the Torah. He even found himself in the Torah. Eben Shlema, Eliyahu ben Shlomo. Right? Everything, we don't know what that means, but it's all written in the Torah. He says, everyone's life is written in the Torah. The Torah is not just a law book. And you know that from Chumash Rashi, it's not a law book. It's teaching you hanhogas of the world, how the world works. Who's Yishmael in the world? Who's Esav in the world? How to deal with Yishmael? How to deal with Esav? What the mitzvahs, how the mitzvahs is something very, very spiritual. How they mitpashet, mishtel shel, how they come down as a physical thing for us to keep. But when you're keeping kivud avei, when you're keeping Shabbos, you're not just being nice to your parents. It has effects in the higher spiritual worlds. When you're keeping Shabbos, you're not because you want a day off. Something fantastic is happening up there, which we don't fully understand. We know that that's happening. These are completely spiritual things. Okay, so if that's the case, so what's his answer? If these things mean, in the higher worlds, spiritual, so to speak, mitzvahs, and if we want to understand things, we'll continue doing mitzvahs in Olam Haba, but they'll be on a different level of spirituality. Not mitzvahs, there's a different, or Yimot HaMashiach, there'll be a different level of spirituality in Olam Haba. Different level of spirituality. You understand what I'm saying? The mitzvahs will take up a new form. Had we not been the chet ha'egel, the mitzvahs would have been a higher spiritual form. The Rishonim speak about it. It's a different level. You understand? So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? What's his answer he's giving to the Malachim? Doesn't make sense then, right? No? Come on. What's his answer? Kine yesh b'neichem, yitzahar yesh b'neichem. I gave you a hint. Holding on to Kisei HaKavod, and then that's his protection. That means, if Kisei HaKavod represents Malchus, and the purpose of the Torah, it says, my Malchus Rabbanon, the rabbis represent Malchus, the purpose of giving the Torah is that God's will be expressed in the Tachtonim. God's will be expressed in the lower physical worlds. The lower physical worlds will be connected to the higher spiritual worlds through the Torah. And man, who has a spiritual aspect and a physical aspect, when he connects the spiritual to the physical, that is Torah. And that's why man should get Torah. That's why Yetzer Hara Yesh Bechem, Kina Yesh Benechem. You went to Mitzrayim. Because a man, with all his endeavors in this world, he's the one to be expressing the Torah. Because he's the one who has a spiritual level and a physical level. And he's the one who can express God's spirituality in the physical world. Therefore, to man has the Torah. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to bring it down. Because that's the purpose of the Torah. To bring it down into the world. To express God's will down here. In our everyday lives. That's why we eat schnitzel. And we make a bracha on schnitzel. And we enjoy it. And it gives us koch to learn. It gives us strength to learn. And we're supposed to enjoy our food. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we receive Torah. And that's why. On Shavuos there's a machlokas between Eliezer and Yeshua. Right? If on a Yom Tov you spend your whole day learning, or your whole day eating, right? Kula lechem, right? Or chetzi lechem, chetzi lashem, right? But in Shavuos, everyone agrees. You have to need lechem. You need lechem. Kula lashem. Shavuos, everyone agrees you need lechem. Why? Shavuos is this day where you receive the Torah, the most spiritual gift. 974 generations, right? We should all be, I don't know, fasting. Yom Kippur is, we can cover us a Torah, right? We all fast, don't we? What happens to us? We eat our cheesecake. We get out, right? What are we doing all this for? Yeah, sorry.
What's up with that? Why do we only eat cheese
stuff? Oh, that's a minute. I'll explain the minute. I'll come to it. But why? What's all this for? The purpose of all of this is Torah has to be expressed in the physical world. That's the purpose of Torah. Because Torah is Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kisei HaKavod, it's expression of his Kisei HaKavod, it's expression of his will in this physical world. And that's why we receive the Torah. You understand? Make sense now? So that's his answer. That's why this makes sense. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be bringing down this Torah, right? Because he could be up there, and he could be down here. So he can connect from up to down. You understand? And Klal Yisrael, now they're going to receive the Torah, the purpose of the giving of the Torah is to bring them up. That's why when Klal Yisrael heard the Asarah Dibrot, the Ten Commandments, the first two, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yeh Lecha, you shouldn't have another God, that they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal say that what happened to them when they heard that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kimat V'Parcha Nishmatam, it's as if their souls, right, were parting from them and came back. There's a Gemara here. The Gemara says this. There's a lot of Gemaras here. Maybe we should do the next one.
Really quick, when you said
when we say
God's like his name,
yeah,
when we say Yehi Shmei Rav, like we're saying, may everyone do his will. Is that what we're saying?
No, Yehi Shmei Rav. Tosis and Brach. Yehi Shmei Rav says this. It's two pshatim. There's Rashi and Tosis. Yehi, if you say Shmei, I think that's Nusach Sfarad, right? Mm-hmm. Say Shmei. Shin Mem Yud K, So it's the Shem, the Shem Yud K. That's the Yud K. Like you say, by Amalek, you have Yad Al Kes Ka Milchama Me Hashem LaAmalek Do Do. I forgot the pasuk. Yeah, but that means the Shem of the Kodesh Baruch Hu Yud K is not Shalem because it doesn't have the Vav K, right? Until we're Mochik Amalek from the world. So we're praying to Hashem. We're asking Him to make His shame, Yehei, shame, Yudke, Rabba, complete. That we have the Yuvavke, the full expression of God in the world. That's one pshat. Tosis understands Shmei, right, as His name. And he says, Yehei Shmo HaGadol. Rabba means Gadol. His big name in the world. That means Shmo HaGadol, right? And we have, His name should be excelled in the world. So he's speaking about the time when his, we're asking for the period of time when his name is fully known in the world. It's the same pshat, but it's a different pshat.
That means like...
Yeah, it means the same thing. Right? Yeah. But it's more specific in Rashi's pshat. Speaking about the Mechiah Samalek, the Mechiah of Ra in the world, that his shame will be complete. Look, it's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf, I think Daf Gimel, the Tosfos at the bottom,
that
speaks about it. Yeah, but it's more specific because it's speaking about the time when you were in Galus. It's speaking about, because the Gemara says that someone went, I think it was Rabbi Yossi, I think it was, you gave him a Gemara Brachas, that he went into Chorba and he met Eliyahu and he heard a voice crying, right? I think a voice or a Yonah crying, I've forgotten now, and he asked Eliyahu, what is this? And he said, he says, all the time this happens? And he says, no. He says, yes, every time Klal Yisrael say, Yehei Shmei Rabbah, this happens. And what's the cry? It's a yearning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring on the Geula, bring on Beis HaMikdash. And it's a yearning and a cry that Klal Yisrael are still in Golas. So that yearning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is brought on when Klal Yisrael also yearn for it to happen. K'mayim parim upon him, ken levar on adam, also with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're yearning to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus into the world, He also yearns for it to happen. And that's why it's brought down in Sfarim. I spoke about this maybe last week. The yearning, the tefillah, the yearning for Mashiach, the yearning for the time where His Malchus will be Shalem, that itself brings on His Malchus. And that's what that Yehei Shmei Rabba is speaking about. That's what Gemara is speaking about there. How do we get on to that one?
You talked about what Shemesh.
Okay, fine. Alright, so that's that. Now, I forgot my point. Where are we going? The first two Dibros that we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was the point of that Torah? What was the Torah was given to us then? It's brought down in Chazal that when we were given the Torah, it was supposed to nullify the Chet of Adam HaRishon. I.e., we were going to go through Tchias HaMesim. And that's what happened. When we heard the first Dibros, it was such an effect on us that it caused Klal Yisrael, as if they would die and be resurrected. There was a little, and that was too hard for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael then asked, we can't take this, it's too much, it's too intense. We want Moshe Rabbeinu to tell us that. Moshe Rabbeinu was, that's why Shavuos we don't really have. Shavuos isn't the real day we receive the Torah. Klal Yisrael, that was a bit of a chet. Klal Yisrael didn't fix themselves at Matan Torah.
You mean they shouldn't have made that?
No. Had they not, it was a level of a sin, yeah. It was a mistake. We weren't on that level, that was the problem. Had we been on that level to hear all the Aseret HaDibrot, Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd be finished. We'd have ended. We've gone in with Moshe Rabbeinu to Eretz Yisrael, brought in Yemot HaMashiach and Olam Haba. But the fact that we couldn't be held on that level, and we needed an intermediary, right, of Moshe Rabbeinu, that caused, in effect, the ability for the Chet HaEgel, and we went back to the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and that's why we needed Yom Kippur and Luchot Shniot, and we're more close to Yom Kippur, Luchot Shniot, which represents the second Luchot, which represents more Torah Shebaal Peh. And now through our learning of the Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, which we have a special mitzvah, She'ein divrei Torah mitkayem ele misha meimis atzma aleh, only someone who kills himself over it, Torah is life. You kill yourself to get life? Yeah. You kill the physical aspect of you. You learn Torah v'dochak. You learn Torah when you're tired. You learn Torah, you give yourself up for Torah. Torah is not you don't sit with a cup of tea and a nice piece of cake and legs up and, you know, it's a nice little read. No, that's not how you learn Torah. Torah is written in Shulchan Aruch. Not like that. Now, if you're studying for an exam, the worst way to study is when you're tired. Correct? How do you learn Torah? So the Gemara says Gemara, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Ein divrei Torah. These are words of Shulchan Aruch. It's not Musa here. This is the words of Shulchan Aruch. I'm not saying this is what you guys should do. This is for third or fourth year guys. You guys, stick around with the tea. But no, but seriously, the words of Shulchan Aruch is as follows. Ein divrei Torah. The words of Torah are not mitkayem, are not established to a person. Ela miche meinis atzmo aleh. He kills himself on them. What do you mean kills himself? Lo yiten sheina le'enav. He doesn't keep sleep to his eyes, utnuma to afapavu, doesn't allow his eyelids to close. That means he's staying there over the Torah and he's falling asleep and he's waking up and he's falling asleep and he's now come on, that's a good way to learn Torah? No, you're not going to learn a lot. So why should you do it that way? Because you're killing yourself over it. You're killing your goof over it. Just that fact that you're killing yourself and you want to learn Torah, that brings you to a new level of learning. And I'll tell you a true story about my rabbi.
I didn't catch that. That's a good thing?
I'm not saying for us. I'm not saying it is a good thing. That's how you should learn, but it's not for us. I'll tell you a story of my rabbi. So he was sits. I saw it myself. When his wife, when his wife wasn't well, she was nifta in the middle of davening. In the middle of davening, all of a sudden she was nifta. And her name was Rachel. And when he took her to the hospital that Shabbos, right, his aliyah to the Torah was Rachel Meita Alai. The aliyah of Shabbos was Rachel Meita, Vayechi. Rachel Meita Alai Baderech, Ephrata. That was his aliyah to the Torah. Anyway, now after his wife was nifta, we didn't see him what he used to do at night, but he was in the Beis HaMedrash. Now he was in the yeshiva by himself, learning. Every night, he never went to sleep. He used to sit there. I'm telling you, this isn't talking about an 80-year-old man or 75, I don't know how old he was there. That age, right? He used to sit there with the Gemara, whatever it was, learning. And he used to literally sit like this. Fall asleep like that, open his eyes, continue learning. He never slept on a bed. The whole day. You try doing that one day. Now, he did that the whole week. The only time he slept on a bed, and he didn't do this for 1 week or 2 weeks, it was done for a year. Two, I don't know how many years. An 80-year-old man. That's Torah. You understand what I'm saying?
And that's why we stay up all night?
Yeah, these people don't sleep. These rabbis, they sleep. You don't know who they are. We don't know. Rabbi Yoshi, he was a 100-year-old man, right? He had an operation. Serious operation. So now, after the operation, what would a person has a serious operation?
Take it easy,
right? Take it easy. So of course he took it easy, what the doctors told him, take it easy. He's not going to risk his life. But after that, he said, he used to get up at 2:30 to go to bed early, not so early, maybe 4 hours sleep, 10 o'clock, 10:30, whatever. He said, now, instead of getting up at 2:30 in the morning and starting my learning, right? You know, that's the time, maybe, you know, like 2:30 in the morning and start my learning. Now that God gave me more time, I have to pay him back. So I'm now going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You've just finished an operation. You're older. You're less healthy than you were. You know, you should be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Look after yourself. No, you gave me more life. I give you more Torah. I have to pay back. We don't understand this. You understand what I'm saying? We don't understand this. It's not by us. These aren't things we understand. Right? But this is Gedolei Yisrael. This is Gedolei Yisrael. That's what Torah is. Torah is not something that we fully understand. It's not like a nice shmooze or a nice little piece. Oh, it's a nice neat Rashi. That's a neat Tosfos there. It's good. It's good. Torah is our life. I want to tell you something. You know, we all find it hard for staying up. Right? It's all hard. Nowadays it's easy. You can have this blue drink, right? Okay, whatever. Do it. Not a problem. Do it. If it helps, do it. But let me tell you something. If you were asked to stay up one night, right? And in the morning you're going to get $100, $200. Even $50 is probably sufficient, right? Maybe even 100 shekels, right? It wouldn't be a problem. Correct? It wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem. If you desire something enough, you don't feel tired. If you're happy about your life, you're doing, you feel you're doing what's in Hashem, you don't feel tired. Tiredness is something ruchani. People who have peaceful lives. In terms, doesn't necessarily have peaceful, you know? These are people didn't have easy lives. Avraham Avinu didn't have an easy life. Yaakov Avinu didn't have an easy life. Yaakov Avinu 14 years didn't sleep, right? According to Chazal. Right? Ha'evan Azeh, right? He slept. 14 years before, and he was in Shem Veiva learning Torah without sleeping. 14 years, Rabbi? Right? All of you guys read that. I don't want to ask the question. How can you sleep 14 years? Without 14 years, right? You should have asked. If you knew Gemara, you should ask a kash from a Gemara. The Gemara in Dara says you can't sleep for more than 3 days. How can you sleep 14 years? David HaMelech, you guys learn brachas, right? David HaMelech, right? How did he used to sleep? Chatzot Laila. Mitnamnim Kasus. He used to sleep like a horse. You ever saw a horse sleeping? Horse doesn't sleep, it sleeps upright. It goes like a little, it wakes up like that. Shishim Nishmatin, very little sleep. It sleeps like in between. I've never seen a horse sleep, I only know from the Gemara. Maybe a horse doesn't sleep. I've no clue. I'm sure they, right? That's the concept. You kill yourself over Torah. Torah is ruchani. If you want something ruchani, you give up on physical things. And you, all of you guys have given up. I'm sure all your friends are sitting in a nice jacuzzi or whatever, you know, nice plush business. They go home, they have a nice flat. And you guys, as nice as Mochon Yaakov is, but I'm sure in other places it's much nicer than Manhattan or wherever, right? Or back home, right? Your own room, right? You've given up. Torah needs that giving up because it's something ruchani. Something ruchani, you have to get rid of something. Gashmi, something physical. That's what Torah is about. You understand that? Now I'll answer your question about milk. Okay, first your question.
Did Moshe Rabbeinu also die?
Yeah. Yeah, he's buried. He wasn't buried. What it means by that, it says we don't know the Kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean we don't know the Kvura? So you know some scientists say, you know what, we've got to find it out, you know, now with modern technology, let's look around Har Sinai, right? Doesn't mean that. It means as follows. He perfected his goof because he was the level of Torah Shebichtav. He was the level that he went through this Tchias HaMeisim.
Right.
He perfected. His neshama entered completely his goof. There's complete perfection of his goof. So since there's complete perfection of his goof didn't have to separate from his neshama. So his goof, it's in a state, it's not in the physical world. It's in some like intermediate spiritual world. That's why we don't know the kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu. That means it wasn't a separation from his goof and his neshama.
I'm not talking about the guy Matt and Torah. Moshe also died.
No, Moshe Rabbeinu was already on the level beforehand.
Oh, he was like
he was already Bechinas Torah. He was already Bechinas Torah Shebichtav. He was already that. There wasn't a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu could have heard. He heard the Asara Dibrot. Who heard the Asara Dibrot? Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, and Moshe spoke to the people. So he received Matan Torah as it should have been. That's why Karan or Panav. After Matan Torah, he was beamed. Why did he beam? Because his neshama completely permeated his goof. When your neshama completely permeates your goof, you beam. It's written in the Gemara in Tanis that certain rabbis, they were beaming. Because they had a level, not the same as Moshe, obviously, a level of neshama permeating the goof. You see that. There are certain people, you see there's a radiance in their face. There is. You see them. You can't see it on a picture, but there's a radiance in their face. Mm-hmm. You understand? The Gedolim is special people. You see it. I remember once saw one rabbi. I didn't know who he was. And I saw this person. He was beaming. So, like, who's this rabbi? Who's this rabbi? So they told me, he was a very big rabbi. There's peace in him, it's clear who they are, you can see it. Just as you can see, you know, if you see people who are lowlives, right? They have a certain look, you know? You guys, I'm sure you know when you see a lowlife, right? There's also people who are highlives, right? You can also have a certain look. It's mashpia on you. And even in the yeshiva, you guys, look at your driving licenses or whatever pictures you've, right, before you walked in here. And forget about a haircut, that sort of thing. That doesn't matter. But you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. You see a difference. Torah affects you. It changes you. We don't even realize it. What's, you know, this Tosfos on how to do binyan on Shabbos, you know, make you into a better person? It can't be explained. It's something ruchani. Just as you know, everyone understands. If you eat good food, you're healthy. It's understood fully. People understand if you have these vitamins, right, then you're going to be healthier. They don't really understand the doctors. It's many statistics, right? So do statistics with Torah. You see people who are learning Torah, they're healthy. They're good people. Statistics. So the vitamin of Torah must be good for you, right? It changes you, huh?
I'm sorry.
Oh, the dairy. Okay, go to the dairy question. All right. Why is it, we have another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Why is it that we eat dairy products on Shavuot? There's a few reasons for it. One is the Torah is considered like the milk of a mother. Why the milk of the mother? Because Torah is life-giving. Hu chayenu, it's our life. Orach yameinu, right? As we say in Tefillah. It's life-giving. Mother's milk to a child that is born is life-giving. So Torah is nimshal to milk. So that's why we have milky foods. Another reason, simpler reason, is that Klal Yisrael, before Matan Torah, right? They were like, it was like Gerus. They were like kivyochol, like non-Jews, who became Gerim through the Torah, right? So their pots weren't kosher. So they couldn't shech now meat or anything. It takes time to do all the process. So all they could have was milk. So just as they had milk, Matan Torah, so we have it, right? That's another reason. What other reasons is given?